7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 54 of Color of Magic, your magic podcast, where we try to bring up some, we'll say, especially like today, important issues that other people may not want to talk about. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as always, I've got my co-host here, riding shotgun, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Pretty good. We're moving right along.
That's one word for it.
More than one, technically, but yeah.
So I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you don't have a beverage, I would recommend getting you something. Maybe a little tea, if you want to just meme it up and sip the tea. Maybe even grab you a little nice little mixed drink if you're of drinking age. Or just whatever your favorite soft drink is. And just relax, because there's going to be a bit of ranting on this episode. And I just want y'all to be prepared for that. So before we get into all that, let's pay some bills and give thanks to our patrons over at our Patreon site, patreon.com/colorofmagic, if you would like to support the show. We have two new patrons this week, Omar Forrest and Ian Bukta, I believe is how that is pronounced. Thank you both for coming on board. I have your postcards here right next to me. They will be getting in the mail tomorrow. And to our sponsor, cardsphere.com, a great website where if you just have cards sitting around, stuff that you kind of want to put on eBay, or maybe you don't want to mess with that, or you don't want to sell to vendors because you're only going to get like a third to half the price, you can go into Cardsphere and just sell your cards for what you want to. Or if you're looking to find cards that are cheaper than other dealers, you can also go into Cardsphere and just buy cards at the price you want to. It's pretty awesome and pretty easy, and you can use PayPal to put money on and off the site now. It is wonderful. And they're good people and support many great magic content creators. So if you haven't, check them out. It is cardsphere.com. All right. Let me grab a sip of water here. This is another day. I think we're going no sound effects, no soundboard. Because I think this is just a lot of serious stuff today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start just with the what people, no doubt anybody who's downloading this wants us to talk about this topic. So I'm just going to get it away out of the way at the top of the hour. If you hadn't seen it, Wizards of the Coast has a new secret lair for the fundraiser for the kids charity, right? Which is awesome. Extra Life's a great charity. Great cards in there, even. All the cards have high secondary value, great new art, nothing to complain about on these. Probably the best secret lair product they've had out so far, and it's only $60, and half that money is going to charity. So, matter of fact, okay, let me address that first before I get into the other stuff. One, the product's just good. I would recommend if you're going to buy any secret lair, this is one of the ones to buy. Because the cards are likely going to hold value and increase later because it's going to be just a rare product. And the cards are all playable in multiple formats. And they're great in Commander. Go for it. Go pick it up. Giving money to charity, also awesome. Now, there are people out there that have been saying, well, Wizards is charging $60, but they could have sold this for $30. So they're really only giving half and they're not making any less money. Because blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Like, let's just be real about it. Who cares? You're getting cards at below secondary market rate with new art and everything else, and you're giving money to charity. Now, the first off, I will say this. That money, people would not have given that money to this charity. And let's be real. The average Magic player is not going to go take $30 out of their pocket and go give it to Extra Life. They're just not. Whether because they don't want to, whether because they have other things to spend it on, whatever. But you know what? You give them some good cards in some rare formats or whatever in a special box or whatever, they'll gladly spend the extra $30 on that. Because that's how we are as human beings and as Magic players. So money going to charity, great. No complaints. Also a tie-in, I believe, I want to say Ultra Pro and somebody else also has stuff that's going to have the Magic artwork. And they're donating proceeds from their sales as well to Extra Life. So Just something else to keep your eye on that's related. The other part of this, this isn't about Wizards getting a bunch of money and then getting a big write-off. That's not how it works. Because they're doing a thing specifically for charity, they're basically a pass-through for the money. They don't get to take money and say, see, we took in this extra, I don't know, making up a number, $100,000, and we're going to get to write that off on charity. That's not how business works. They would have to actually have that on their bottom line as actual revenue that wasn't dedicated as part of a charity effort, and then just donate that money out of pocket from other expenses that they would have been able to spend on something else to be able to get that write off, is the way I understand it to work, at least at my level of having run a business.
And I've seen some charity foundations where it works exactly the other way. So are you sure? That sounds supposed
yeah. to work. But that being said, doesn't really matter. Because there's also a lot of other stuff behind the scenes that we are not going to know how their accounting works. Right? There could be a bunch of other levers and things being pulled that make stuff transferable to one thing or another and blah, 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 blah. So even if I'm not accurate, still don't care. A bunch of money is going to go to a charity who can use it and does a lot of great things. Bunch of people are going to get a bunch of cards that are great and playable and collectible. Everybody's a winner. And Wizards even gets to put some money in their pocket. Great. Nothing wrong with this product. And people can be mad about it all they want, but that's my stance on it. I'm sticking to it. Now, the other side of that is, by the end of the day, after the announcement, one of the cards, Teferi's Protection, has a picture of Teferi doing the thing that any parent does where they toss their kid up and catch him or whatever with Nyambi, who's his daughter, right?
We used to call that Super Baby when I did it with my kids.
Yeah, so you get it, right? So in this and totally beautiful, like heartwarming art, right? Nothing to be mad at all. It really is a cute, beautiful piece of art. Well, people had decided they were going to clip Nyambi out of the artwork and put baby Nyambi into a bunch of deadly scenarios, we'll call it. And all of them I will say a lot of them have some very racial undertones. Whether they're outright racist or not, I don't know, but several of them definitely come off that way. And let me start by saying this. Even if the intent of the artist or creator, however we define this when somebody's just photoshopping stuff, isn't racist, you can still be indirectly racist. The other side of that is, let's say even no racial intent whatsoever, you're kind of just dumb. Because you have to read the room. You have to look at the climate. You have to know what's going on.
And when you're putting it on the internet, the entire world is the room at that point.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, look, just the nature of things going on in society right now. One of the biggest hot buttons is violence and racism. And you're doing a thing that directly depicts that. Well, even worse, you're taking a thing that's to raise money for a children's charity, effectively, and then trying to take a kid from one of the artworks and turn it into something unpleasant, at the very least.
For the yucks, allegedly.
Yeah, so if you're not racist, you're just dumb and an ass. And that's your floor. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best case scenario for you. So it gets a lot worse.
One of the clubs I work at, you know, the owner has specific, you know, kind of topics they don't want talked about. And of course, you know, comedians love to push boundaries. So they'll all be like, hey, what about this? And the owner will say, if you have to ask me if it's okay, you basically already know it's not okay.
Yep. You know how I feel about that? That's when people ask me, hey, can I put you down as a reference? Like, you know if you can or not.
Yeah.
But okay, so back on topic. Like, seriously. So that's kind of where I start at, right? Like, even if you're going to tell me it's not racist, then I just have to assume you're dumb. Or you're just... I try to keep this a clean show, but you're just an asshole. Like, let's be real. But then there were some people that tried to slap some other artwork together and tried to post it. And I tried to find the post so I could share them with the podcast, but looks like they got deleted. But there were some people trying to just toss Nyambi into some other art. And they're like, no, but these aren't racist. And they made these. Well, one, I looked at the timestamp. Some of those came way later in the day. And that just felt like the make good. Like, you're like, oh, no, I cleaned my room, see? And then you're kicking some stuff under your bed. Like, come on. Like, and plus, there's a difference. Like, the ones that came out first were intentionally done. There's Nyambi being thrown into a pit and, you know, everybody, like, looking angry at her and has, like, stupid flavor text on the card, right? There's one with her being baked into a pie. There's one with her on being crucified on the Tivadar's crusade. But then the other ones they tried to put up as the cover up, though literally she's just in the artwork. No intention, no nothing, right? So you can't tell me those were done in the same way with the same intent.
And they're not racist. Okay.
And then here's another one I found. And this is just the card itself. Somebody went and changed the mana symbol first off and made it a Phyrexian symbol because Phyrexians are evil. And then changed the title from Teferi's Protection to Going Out for Smokes. So you already know where this is headed.
Yeah.
I didn't have to see the rest of the card to know. But then over the artwork, they put some text that says, fly away, little bitch. And then in the actual text box, it says, and this is, I'm quoting this from the card. Target father phases out and never phases back in. If you would win the game, target father phases back in. Ask for credit for your win and ask for $20. And then the flavor text, this is how much effort they put in, says, I'm gonna go get some smokes and some milk from the store. Be right back. Go to your mother. - man who didn't love you enough to stay.
But not racist.
Oh, yeah, but it's not racist.
And, oh, and before I forget, on the bacon to a pie, for those of you that aren't familiar with the reference, I believe the original song lyric is about blackbirds being baked into a pie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know.
So, yeah, just people saying, like, oh, it's not really. Like, even now, I will say, maybe there's a couple of y'all that weren't, and y'all were just making funny memes, but there's a bunch of people that were being racist. And here's the thing, like, if I'd have seen baby Nyambi, because in her artwork, her arms are up or whatever, if she'd have been, like, on a roller coaster, or, I don't know, in a Mario Kart game, being chased down by Bowser or whatever, and people were just having fun, I probably wouldn't even have thought much of it. Just when people are putting in a bunch of different funny artwork because of the way she looks in the picture. Fine. That could even been funny. There was somebody who had one because he's like, you know, it looks like he's phasing her out or whatever. There's one that says, phasing your daughter out so you can Netflix and chill. Right? That's kind of funny. Right? Yeah. It's actually like you're making a meme about another meme and like it makes sense. Nothing racist there. But these others I saw, I was just like, dude, there's almost no way to take those. And even if you're not, like I said, you have to understand what's going on around you and know what's going to come with that. And then I think what further upset people, there were a couple people who posted it in the one of the judges groups. And some of the judges were like, ah, that's funny. 10 of 10. I would buy that, you know, whatever. Like, dude, really? Seriously? Like, yeah, it's just, you can't say that it's not when I literally just read you the text of the type of cards and art and stuff people were doing. Now, some of that, there was some backlash because there were a couple of people who were white trying to, and they weren't even defending it. They were talking against it. They were calling it out. Great. Some people try to say, oh, well, we don't need them to speak for us, whatever. Like, you know what? Get off that. Because sometimes it takes people that look like the people causing the trouble to get their attention. And that applies to everything. Like, y'all know, like, there, even as a person, there probably been moments where you were mad about a thing or weren't looking at a thing right, but one of your best friends, your cousin, your brother, whoever brought something to your attention or said something a certain way, and then you kind of went, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it takes that. And I would rather have more people calling out this behavior and going after the people who are doing it than not. Like, sure, maybe if they overstep their bounds and they're talking about, like, well, you know, if they get into the conversation and saying, well, black culture this and black, okay, cool, maybe that's too much. We can have that talk. But if the whole goal of what they're doing is just strictly saying, hey, this stuff exists, this happened today, it's wrong, I'm saying it's wrong, and I'm going to be calling out and reporting every person who does this, you should be too. We should be encouraging people to do that. Because this is just absurd. Like, this is a thing where I don't care how mad you are at Wizards. Like, this is a thing for a charity. And it's a thing that's done with all positive intention. So you're doubling down on a situation to go do some of the stuff these people were doing.
Again.
Go ahead.
Under the pretense of doing something funny, you gotta, you know, gotta have your priorities and gotta have, you know, gotta have your goals. So what's the point?
Well, yeah, that's it at the end of the day. Like, what's going to happen? You're going to get the support of other people that are equally stupid. And you have to know that's going to be out there now. It's going to be attached to you. You're going to get blocked or banned from certain groups. You're going to lose the ability to market yourself, to work with other people, to get exposure or whatever for any of your projects. And don't think people just magically forget, because they don't. Believe me, I know stuff people did in 96 in Magic that I'm still like, I ain't going to forget. You know, so don't think that's just going to go away. And the internet, even if you delete it, a lot of that stuff is cached out there, yo. The Wayback Machine's a mother, let me tell you. So just think about that if you're thinking about doing something dumb. Because here's the reality, and you know this as a comedian. The average person is not good at writing that line of being edgy.
Mm-mm. There's a lot of comedians, I mean, some of them that are famous that arguably aren't good at it.
Hell, Andrew Dice Clay is not the same as a George Carlin.
No. He was hot for a minute. He was ridiculously hot for a minute. Now it's like, Andrew Dice who?
Well, yeah, because then everybody realized that was his only shtick. There wasn't anything to it. And I think that's the thing when I look at, and I apply the same thing to people's Magic content and whatnot. Like, it's easier to try to be edgy and try to be over the top, negative, goofy, whatever, to try to draw that attention. But at the end of the day, the crowd you draw, you're going to get what you're going to reap what you sow. Because those oftentimes also end up being the people that aren't the people that are going to be able to help you. They're not going to be the people that support you. And the minute you change your opinion or try to do something more positive, those people are gone.
Because all they want to hear is that Wizards is the devil.
Absolutely. Even on my channel, when I put up something that's even remotely negative, I get probably 30% more views. But there's also a lot of people who showed up expecting me to go deep on their angle. And then a bunch of them kind of like, ah, dude, I guess it's kind of cool having a level-headed discussion, blah, blah, whatever. I hadn't thought about that, blah, blah, blah. And those are the people I'd rather have. But this whole thing, man, this is the type of stuff when people say, oh, well, racism isn't that bad in gaming, you know, blah, blah. Like, this happens. And the worst part about it is, I've had to explain this to people, is like, this is just what happened that you got to see publicly.
Exactly. You haven't, you know, especially if you're not a person of color or a woman, you don't get to see the whole affront, you know.
Oh, I have people right now that send me messages in my DMs or on Facebook or whatever, because I've only had success because of the color of my skin.
Wow.
And in my head, I'm like, one, do you see the amount of content I put out in a week? You get YouTube videos every day. I have a podcast every week, and I do 3 or more streams a week. And I'm cross-promoting and cross-branding all of that all the time. Now, and that's not counting doing commentary work, appearing on other people's podcasts or web shows or whatever along the way. Like, I am working and putting my time in.
Daquan's everywhere, folks. He going global with this.
But I'm just saying, like, to tell me that it's just because, like, oh, well, people felt bad for you, or because of the whole racist movement, blah, blah. Like, dude, get off of it. Like, I honestly, and I'm not even saying this just to pat myself on the back, I put in as much or more time than just about everybody else I know that's putting in magic content right now. And not only that, to know how many opportunities I have not had over the years in the gaming industry because of the color of my skin, you know, to have somebody want to use that as the reason I'm successful now, I'm just like, dude, what the hell are you even talking about?
I mean, when I get wiped out, like I will be at the end of probably today, because we're doing this, I'm going to do a couple of YouTube videos and a Twitch stream. And then I think about how tired I am. Then I think, this is Daquan's every day. This is like, I call myself, this is what Daquan does, like 5-6 days a week.
Oh, not only that, I can tell you right now, I spent a day last week, 2 days, just going back and forth trying to secure some potential sponsor deals or whatever, which hopefully one of those is coming through soon. But I mean, that stuff I'm still doing on top of doing everything else to extend my reach, to allow myself to do this as a living. So those are things I don't talk about publicly all the time. I don't bring up, because it's just what happens on a day-to-day basis.
Plus, people don't realize that how much stuff had to be done before we even hit record on the first podcast. People think, oh, okay, I just want to do a podcast. Well, I just need a microphone, you know, and a computer, and then I push record, and then it, no, it ain't even like that.
Oh, no doubt.
Save a
no
doubt. YouTube, to Twitch, to all these things. There's so much that goes on before you hit the record button or before you go on camera that you have, basically, if you're, people just have no idea. Just absolutely no idea.
Well, let's say if you're going to try to be good at it, and you put the right time in, yes, there's definitely stuff that goes on beforehand. But like I said, this is stuff that, and I've told some of the stories on the show before, you know, things that have happened to me or people that came up and said things or did things. So to have that happen so regularly, you're put in a position where you can't walk around just griping about it every single day, every single time something happens. Because, one, nobody's going to want to hear it after a while. It just becomes the boy who cried wolf. So the average person who doesn't experience these things doesn't hear about it. And it takes something like this to go like, oh, maybe y'all were right. There is some racist stuff still going on. He's like, yeah, that's what I've been telling you for the last forever.
Some of my friends had to see me get racially profiled after we did a show. They're like, Brian, what just happened? Like, all the things I've been telling y'all about all the time. You just saw it happen. Y'all thought I was doing material, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's every Tuesday for us.
For real, man. I'm telling you, it's different. So as much as I do hate to see things like this, I do actually like that they come up every once in a while. So people get reminded and get to see that, like, all those things, when people tell you there's these things going on and these stories that happen behind the scenes, or when somebody feels weird about not going to an event or whatever, you understand why. Because as much as you think, oh, well, it's not that bad, I don't see it that often, or it's not still there, maybe you're overblowing this whole thing. Stuff like this happens.
We made
and then you can't deny it.
Elected Obama. Everything is good.
Well, yeah, I've had somebody tell me that too.
Almost every person of color has heard that over the past few years.
Well, racism doesn't exist anymore. We elected a black president. What?
And then what happened? Look at the course correction.
That's a thing. And I'm amazed how often people have heard that and thrown that out there, because that's a real thing. It's amazing. But yeah, I think that's where I'm going to leave that for this week. Who knows? There may be a follow-up next week. I have no clue. But we'll get into some other stuff here. So, Brian, what did you learn last week?
As we said, it's going to be so much happened this week. I had no other place to put this. So, Jeffrey Toobin, we got to talk about this. I guess for anybody who possibly hasn't heard, former reporter for The New Yorker and CNN, Jeffrey Toobin, apparently during a Zoom meeting decided he would pleasure himself. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. Yeah. And his camera was still on, and several of his coworkers got to witness the whole thing. And I've been trying to figure out exactly. I can just assume he just completely had no understanding of how Zoom works, because he kept saying he thought he was muted, and that doesn't account for the camera.
Man, my thing is, I mean, I'm having a hard time talking about this and not just be like, just sound like an awful person or just like try to keep the show clean here. But I can't think of a time where I ever needed to handle my business, to put it lightly, so badly that I couldn't step out of the room at least. Like, what? At what point is it even remotely a good idea where you are in the mood and you're like, you know, just right here after a meeting sounds good?
Or technically during, because apparently we're on a break to discuss meeting strategy, and that's when it apparently happened. And then he apparently came back to the meeting blissfully unaware that his coworkers had seen everything.
Yeah, and see, and that's the effed up part, right? Because if you're one of the coworkers, you immediately realize that he doesn't know what y'all know. So you're trying to be cool for the rest of the meeting, which I assume they still had like another hour plus to go.
I can't even imagine.
You know, so that whole scenario is all kinds of effed up at that point.
Who does HR call you? Does your, I've thankfully never been in a situation like this. So I don't even know what the protocols are for.
Oh, it would definitely be an HR situation.
I mean, just, you know, cause as you know, we're doing virtual school and I'm scared to walk around my own house in my pajamas because there's always somebody online doing something school related.
Dude, no lie. Like, okay, this is the difference, because I was talking to some people about doing content, you know, regularly, especially since we're all working from home and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, most of the time I just have like pajamas on or my sweatpants on, whatever. And no lie, like I almost always have some firm fitting, like protective, where you can't see stuff pants on, usually jeans, when I'm recording.
Yeah.
Because I don't even want to accidentally get up and have somebody catch an outline of something.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Like, and I don't know if that's just knowing I need to be more careful or not or whatever. But yeah, I'm just not even willing to take that chance. So I couldn't imagine being in a situation where I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
You know, man, that's nuts. But the follow up is he did lose a lot of his potential credentials now. So a couple of the other networks and radio stations are not willing to work with him now. TV stations.
I can only hope he saved his money. And I mean, he's made enough. Well, again, I don't know that he saved it, but he certainly probably has made enough to where he probably doesn't have to work again. There's probably a great book in it if he, you know, wants to write it after he's hit the other side of all. And the worst part, because one of the things he became famous for was covering the O.J. Simpson trial. So, of course, O.J. had some thoughts. How bad is your life going where O.J. gets to snap on you?
That's true. I mean, I said this in, our private show, which, by the way, if you join our Patreon, you get private content. But OJ's the only person I can think of, especially on a celebrity level, that has been arrested for stealing his own stuff back.
Yeah.
That's pretty low. So if OJ's coming after you, that's a rough time.
That's like getting fired on your day off, as Chris Tucker would say. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. That's just bad. Well, what I learned in the last week, I think I already knew, but it was just amazing to see people's food opinions. Because people started busting out these, you know how the tier ranking charts?
Yeah.
With the different fast food joints.
Okay.
And I'd say fast and casual dining, I guess, on some of them, to be fair. But man, some people, when it comes to talking about like chicken or whatever, man, people have opinions, like real opinions. Like people was ready to fight over some Popeyes for real. When you're talking about the spicy chicken sandwich being good or not. Oh man, people are ready to go to blows over that.
We did a video about that on the Allen's Ever After YouTube channel, and you are not joking. I can confirm people are ready to throw heads about the chicken sandwich. Like they're all Popeye's payroll. It cracks me up.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong. I'm down with some Popeye's chicken sandwiches. I mean, they're good as hell. I ain't even going to pretend. Yeah. But I ain't trying to, like, if somebody's like, oh, that's it. Well, I will say this. If you say the sandwich is just trash, I'm okay, now you're just dumb. But if you're just like, I don't like it, I prefer this other type of sandwich for this reason, I'm like, all right, cool. I ain't gonna be mad at you and be like, doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. Taste buds are taste buds.
We can't be anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I ain't gonna go that far. But I will say this though. People throw around like trash just a bit too frivolously, I guess. You can't, like, if you say something's trash, it has to be bad. I mean, like, okay, I know some people are going to hate this, but, like, if we're talking about fast food burger joints, right? You have, like, In-N-Out, Whataburger, Wendy's, McDonald's, like, all the ones everybody knows, right? Burger King, whatever. But if people want to say, like, White Castle, that's the closest thing we could probably call trash. And there's some people that still go to the mat for White Castle.
I remember I was on one gaming road trip and we saw we were in some place. We don't have White Castle in Texas, but we were in, I think, St. Louis. And one of my friends sees a sign, White Castle clam strips. We're having those. Everyone else in the car turns to him. No, he hurt.
That's too true, man. That's too true. I remember the first time I had it, I didn't understand. I'm like, these are just like, their buns are like mini rolls that aren't even the good, best quality mini rolls. Their meat is just a little sliver of a patty. And then it's just diced onions. That's it. There's no sauce. Why is that even a thing? Like, no lie, I made better stuff than that when I was just broke.
You'll have people
for real
about that by the time this airs, I promise you.
It's true though. I mean, but here's the thing, I get it, right? It's regional wherever you grow up, right? Because up here in the Northwest, we have a chicken spot called Azell's. And Azell's is all right. Like they make some decent, like spicy chicken strips that are pretty decent. The chicken itself is decent quality. But if you talk to locals, they'll all tell you, like, oh, no, Azell's is a place. You're going to get chicken. You got to go to Azell's. I'm like, it's good. Like, if I just want some chicken, like, you know, I got one pretty close to the house. I'll go to one.
As you say, so much of it is, you know, where you grew up and the memory. Like, you got the memory of, hey, you know, you got your driver's license. Then you went to Azell's to eat or whatever your local restaurant is. So that ties into it.
Yeah. I shared a post from somebody on Twitter a while back. But I think it's still true, though. If y'all don't know, go to your local Chinese spot, and if they make fried chicken, try some of that. And I'm not even trying to be just stereotypical or whatever, but man, I have been to so many Asian food restaurants that make fried chicken, and it is good. So I'm just saying, that's a secret if you don't know.
I have taught defensive driving in many of these places, and yeah, I can confirm fried chicken.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just traditional recipes or spices or the oils they use or whatever, but like those places make some good chicken. So when people are just throwing out like this place is the greatest, I'm like, is it though? But yeah, anyway, just seeing people go nuts over food preferences and calling each other crazy. And, you know, it's just so amazing how much we can get upset about our food.
It's not just food. Everybody has brand loyalty to, like, you know, for video game consoles. I've get so many times been told I'm a sellout for whichever console. Like, if Nintendo makes a good game, I'm going to play it. If Sony makes a good game, I'm going to play it. I don't know why people act like they're on the payroll and you can only like one of them.
That's true. If the company's not paying you or sponsoring you in some way, does it really matter? Just let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. Like I said, I don't get it on White Castle. White Castle seems like a mess to me, like whatever, but I get it. Some people love it. They grew up with it. They obviously have a small chain of stores, a small chain, reasonable chain of stores. So great. People go enjoy it. That just means there's more like Whataburger for me, which people hate. So, you know.
Now they got their own movie series, which helps them sell even more of those things.
That's also true.
I'd love to see the numbers as to how many people had never heard of that place before Harold and Kumar went there and how much money they've made since then.
No, I'm sure that helped. But all right, let's get into some other stuff here. I will give everybody a quick update. So the player that jumped into my messages came back and was like, see, I told you people are only playing these two adventure cards, blah, blah. And I'm like, what?
We've established you're wrong. We established that a long time ago, Mr. Adventure Guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, even if you just look at Golgari Adventures and Gruul Adventures, between them, there's already like four or five adventure cards. So like that alone makes it irrelevant. But anyway, I just want to give that a bit because I found it very hilarious that the person came back to try to put something in the comments as though they were getting a one up on me. Like, see, I told you. And I'm like, what are you even looking at? But anyway, that's a thing that happened. But speaking of which, tournaments happened this past week and they're still going throughout this week. So lots of fun stuff to talk about as far as Standard goes. There is a crap ton of events. By the way, if you ever want to see events or you just want to join some events, go check out MTG Melee. That's MTGMELEE.com. We're not sponsored in any way, but if you just want to join tournaments, have a chance at some prizes where people have a bunch of tournaments that are open that you can go sign up for, or some of them just have like, you know, be a follower on our Twitch channel or be a member of our Discord or whatever. And they have a link, so you can just go join the thing and then sign up for the tournament. And a lot of them, some of them have free entries. Some of them are just cheap. They're like $5 entries or whatever. But it's a way that you can play Magic all the way through, especially right now with quarantine going on and you want to just stay active. Tons of events and different formats. Some even use Magic Online and aren't played on Arena if you like Magic Online. So just a resource I want to point out to people to check out. But if you ever want to see tournament results, you can go do that too. So a tournament happens, you can go look at all the decks and you get the breakdown even of how many decks of each type were in the event. You can look at an individual deck or a person and see like who that person played against, and it shows you their different deck types they went up against. So you can get an in-depth look if you're thinking about any type of decks or wondering how did this deck get to be 6-0? Did they play any of the other big decks or whatever? And you can use that as part of your research. It's an amazing resource. If people aren't checking out, they really should. Also, another account you should probably follow. What was that?
I was going to say, I can confirm. I played in the Channel Fireball Clash through MTG Melee. It was top notch.
Yeah, great resource for events, participating in them, that's for sure. Another account you should follow on Twitter is Fire Shoes, just like it sounds. Like the thing that's hot and the things you wear, Fire Shoes. He actually compiles a lot of this stuff practically daily from big events that are going on. So if you want to see what percentage of the field is made up of each deck, or you want to see like which decks went undefeated on the first day or whatever, he tries to put that up in a pretty timely manner. So good account to follow if you're worried about figuring out the metagame or just want the competitive information. But looking at all these events, it looks like we haven't had in these events more than like 15-ish% of the field being made up of any one deck so far. There was a couple maybe where it was like right coming up on 20%, but that seems like the upper end. And when you look at what's gone undefeated or 4-0 or 6-0 or whatever on the first day, it's a pretty good spread. And this is based on the CFP Pro Showdown event that we did last weekend. And then the Red Bull Week of Wings that they're running this week. They're running multiple events throughout each day, every day this week to qualify for one of their big events at the end of the year. But going through here and looking at these, like there's some right now. You look at one and it's got a couple of mono red decks at the top, you know, followed by mono white, Gruul Adventures, Selesnya, Dimir Control, right? Like these are, this is just going down the list and there's just like so many different decks, which is fantastic. Like this is what we've all been wanting.
Yeah, this you is know, you've, where we want to be.
Yeah, another one, you look at another one of the events that happened this week. It's just Jeskai Control, Dimir Rogues, Abzan Yorin, Selesnya Midrange, Gruul Adventures, Golgari Adventures, you know, there's a Boreal Cycling deck. You know, like each one of these has a different top 8, top 16. And you'll see some decks popping back up. You'll see one or two decks you recognize in each top 8, you know, but that's what you want, right? There's popular decks that are good enough to battle every week or every event. And then you still have these individual decks that are sneaking their way in there, which is cool. And then really take your time with these events and look at like the people that are like 4-2, because a lot of times those decks are also very good, but maybe they got a bad break here or there or got a bad mana draw. But I think the story from the last 7 days or so is that the format is very diverse. And this is exactly what we wanted. You know, I put out a 1 minute video today on my channel, just telling people like, hey, here's some tips because the format's so diverse on what you should be doing and aiming for and whatever. So if you haven't followed me yet, you probably should follow my YouTube channel because there's some good magic tips that get put up on there. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, how do you feel about Standard right now, Brian?
I mean, this is, you know, I've seen so many different decks in the past, well, as you said, past 7 to 10 days. It's inspiring. You haven't really seen, as you said, more than, you know, 15 or 20% of one thing, whereas before, yeah, every game was, you know, Euro, and then it was Euro and Omnath, and it's just oppressive. I guess probably number one it would be Dimir Rogues, I guess, if there's anything that I'm seeing a whole lot of, but it's, you know, a strong deck, but it's not a deck that I feel like I stand no chance against.
That's fair.
It's fair.
I will say this too. This last weekend of doing commentary was the first time, and I joked about this with Reed, was that we might actually have cards we don't know for the first time on camera. Because we knew there was going to be so many different decks and people trying so many cards. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to go deep. Fortunately, didn't run into anything I didn't know, but there was one I barely knew, and it was somebody playing a card from one of the, I think it was one of the like battle deck, or what did we call the brawl decks, that it happened to fit the deck he was playing. So it was just like, whoa. When I saw the title, I was like, where have I seen that card before? And I was like, oh yeah, I know what that card does. But it was cool to, even for commentary, to get to do these events where I was seeing so many different decks and the players in the chat got to see a bunch of different stuff and people were excited about seeing different cards in action or cards they even forgot about, you know, that they were getting to see how good they were. So this is the standard we wanted. Like, this is literally what people have been asking for, where you can play a bunch of different decks. I'm seeing a lot of people making Diamond and Mythic with their own deck ideas or things they're just putting together, which is awesome. I mean, obviously, you know, there are going to be best versions of certain decks or whatever, and that's always going to exist. But the fact that when I get on to play Arena right now, I'm not playing the same 4 decks or 5 decks every time. Like, I've had runs where I played a different deck 6 matches in a row, and only 2 of them was what I would call like true meta decks. So it's a good time, man. It's a good time to play Standard. If you haven't checked it out and you've been putting it off because you've been burnt by it recently or whatever, give it a look right now. It's actually really, really fun.
Because it probably, let's be honest, only lasts until the next set comes out. So we enjoy this time.
Well, that may be true too. So let's hope not, but it may be true. So we did have some other fun news in the gaming industry that a politician that many of you know as AOC decided she was going to get into the stream game, which, you know, it was a little bit of a spectacle, but it was pretty fun. And I will say this, like I hopped in because, you know, I have to do my diligence here. And she was really using the platform as a way to encourage people to vote. And she would periodically talk about an issue or something she saw as a concern. I believe it one segment when I was watching, she was talking with some of the other players from different areas because she was playing with other known streamers, I believe, for the most part, because I recognized a couple of the names. But about healthcare, and they were talking about like, yeah, I don't really understand how people in the U.S. don't just go to the hospital or whatever, or like how I can go and then I only have like a $5 bill I have to pay or something, you know. And it was good to see an actual American politician in a shields down kind of scenario to talk with people from multiple countries and just normal people and say like, hey, let's get this message out to viewers and people who don't know. And it wasn't small. Like when she announced it, that they had just set up her stream, you know, and she was getting moderators and all that, she had 140,000 followers in the first 6 hours before she'd even streamed. And then when I was watching, she had 466,000 followers and it peaked at 405 live viewers when I was on. And it averaged at about 340-ish, I think. That's crazy. Because, you know, I get like last night I had like 200 and I was excited. That was a great night for me.
There's probably an alternate parallel universe where AOC became a streamer instead of a congressperson.
Well, people forget she was an actual like semi-competitive video gamer. So it's not like she's completely foreign to this whole world. I mean, she is part of the gaming generation and she understands how to connect with people.
And again, we hate to keep referencing stuff we talk about on the pre-show, but this is somebody, you know, that, because there's obviously all kinds of laws that need to be made regarding technology. And most of our current people in Congress have no idea what you're talking about with Zoom meetings and your Twitch and your YouTubes and what the Googles and the Facebook.
Well, yeah, but part of that is, you know, not to insult people, because I've told you before, I think old people are cool, but I think our politics can't be riddled with all old people. You know, we need somebody who's 30, 40 years old, who understands how technology works, who can connect with people that are younger or current, just coming of age to vote, you know, and understand what's important to that generation or to give them the tools to help shape the world or whatever. And if it takes something like AOC getting on Twitch and having these conversations and getting people to at least listen to them, then great. Because it's not even about her preaching these things. She was generally just having conversation with people about issues while she was gaming. And the cool part about it is people are getting educated without even thinking about the fact they're getting educated. We should want more people to do this. And here's a big difference too, to talk about like politics really, is that the Democrats understand that. And they've been doing way more to engage people on different platforms. And I think you have the Republicans that really, if you're not big business or you're not from some rural part of the country, they don't really care about talking to you. I mean, we saw this past week, and you probably saw this in some of your social circles, that Biden-Harris had signs in Animal Crossing.
I did. My son actually came up and told me, hey, did you know Joe Biden did Animal Crossing? And if you go up to him, he says, I think, no malarkey if you talk to him, apparently.
I didn't know they had an actual, like, person in the game, a little Meebo. That's kind of cool, though. I dig it. But, you know, you had Andrew Yang and Bernie Sanders at different points had been on Twitch to try to talk to voters and stuff. And it's like, man, these people get it.
And some of the rise, you know, and unfortunately a large part of the fall of Donald Trump is he loves Twitter. He realized before a lot, especially the Republican Party, he realized what a powerful tool it was in terms of getting your message out there, you know, without having to talk to necessarily a reporter or newspaper or what have you.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's cool to see our politicians, for the first time that I can remember, having an extended period of time where they're trying to actually engage people in creative ways on the platforms and through the methods that it makes sense to. You know, just going and I'm going to do this story with this reporter. I'm going to put this in the paper. I'm going to have this on the news. I'm going to do this debate. Like, that's the same thing that people have done for so long. And hell, some people don't even, I know people that don't even have TVs. You know, so that method doesn't work. But if you want to engage them on their laptop or, you know, like AOC did last night during a stream, she had a 400,000 person audience.
We have a
bunch, which is insane for a streamer, by the way. Yeah. That's like upper 0.025% of streamers. But yeah, I don't know. Did you get to check it out at all, Brian?
I didn't get to see it, but I'm in a number of Twitch groups. So I saw a bunch of people say, hey, did you see AOC is on Twitch? So it definitely was reaching a whole bunch of people. And then, of course, yeah, we had a debate about, like, should politicians be on Twitch? If they're on there, should they, you know, be preaching their message to you? And to me, I'm thinking, like, yeah, I would, if a politician is on Twitch, yeah, I would want them to talk in the same way that if a football player is on there, I want to be able to ask them what they think the Packers are going to do this year. You know, that's my
take. Yeah. Right? Why not? I'm all for it.
If Carrie Underwood and this is on there, I want to be able to ask when the new, you know, when the new album's coming out.
True. But I will say, for me, this further supplants my opinion that if AOC wants to run for president next election, she's going to have a big lead and it's going to be hard for other Democrats to run against her. Because think about all these people she's engaging right now. In 4 years, even more of them are going to be eligible to vote.
Yeah.
Like that, and I told people, and they said, well, what if Biden wins? Don't care. Bet you she still runs against him and gets the seat.
Oh, I think hadn't Biden said he's only going to go one term because of how old he is?
That would be a good move because he'll be over 80 by the time it's done. He's 77 now.
I feel like he said somewhere that I saw that he's only going to go one term.
Well, that would be the smart move. Also, isn't it funny that Trump is running around trying to keep talking about Biden being old, and there's only like 3-year difference between them.
And also I've heard where Steve Bannon says if Trump loses, he may run again in 2024.
Okay.
Yeah, which he'd be, I guess, in his 80s or close to it at that point also.
Yeah, that would be equally dumb. Gotta love it, man.
Broken so many political norms to where I can't say he wouldn't do it. And apparently,
yeah,
he lived to be 90-something. Biden's parents apparently both lived to be in their 90s. So genetically, they both got a good chance to still be around in 4 years.
I will say this, and then we'll leave this topic. But I honestly believe if and when Trump is no longer in the seat, there will be enough fallout that he would not be able to win the nomination.
I would, you know, I would love to think so, but again, Trump has broken so many of the norms statistically and politically where I don't think you can count him out ever.
Oh, I get you. But even just seeing how things are falling apart right now around him, and like to the point that everybody, there's lots of reports coming out of Washington right now of him just being agitated constantly and mad because he's not getting the numbers, not getting the viewers, you know, not getting the feedback he wants. Like it's already happening.
And again, he still, I think he finally begrudgingly committed to a peaceful transfer of power. But if something happens, you know, where it's going to be close, it'd go to the Supreme Court, which at that point, the Republicans control it.
Oh, I don't even think it's going to be close. Like the last election, I knew it was going to be close. This one, it doesn't feel like it's going to be close.
I saw,
but we'll see.
I saw one, you know, one of the many pundits saying mathematically, even if Biden wins by, you know, I think he's favored by 10% in most polls now, even if he wins by, let's say,
because the margin error is 3 to 4%. If Biden only wins by 6% of the popular vote, Trump can still win the Electoral College.
Sure. Which is why the Electoral College is silly at this point in time. But that's a whole different discussion. I mentioned last week the YouTube situation for streamers or content creators, I should say. And it hasn't gotten any better. Some people up until yesterday hadn't been paid. Some people were just getting paid. Follow-up has been some of the, I don't know how we would describe them, I guess customer service folks, whatever their level is, basically saying that like I mentioned, like, hey, we know it's a problem. We're trying to fix it. Then some of us getting messages saying, well, you know, the numbers might actually be right, but you could have had some invalid traffic or blah, blah, blah. And part of me is like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense, because how would everybody have the same invalid traffic over the same like 14 to 20 day stretch, right? That doesn't make sense. And they were saying, well, another explanation could be that there was a advertiser or vendor who defaulted or didn't pay for their ads, so we weren't able to pay people that money or whatever. But again, it's kind of like, well, it happened to everybody, and we know that the ads are at least somewhat tailored to the channels and to the viewer. So not everybody's even getting the same ads. So that doesn't make a lot of sense either. So at this stage, nobody really knows what the hell's happening or what's going on. Go ahead.
I did want to ask you, you know, since you're further in the process than me, like, if you have a problem, is there anybody, can you get somebody from YouTube on the phone or by email, or how does that work?
They do have a, I don't know, creator liaison type thing. And I've sent something, an email to them, but it's a lot of the same stuff. You know, they've given me updates. Hey, we're still working on this thing, you know, whatever. But not a lot of details. You know, and I'm fine. You know, honestly, even if they just said, look, this thing broke. It's all effed up. We know it's a problem. Our target date's here to try to fix it. You know, we'll backdate stuff or whatever. And at least, because like for me, it sucks, but it may only cost me like, I don't know, $150 or something, right? Which is still not nothing right now, but it's a small amount compared to people who their whole entire income is YouTube. You know, so some of these people are like I told you, one lady had to cancel everything she has coming up because she was like, I literally don't even know what my budget's going to be. So she had to change how she's even making money because she doesn't even know what she's going to have access to because the numbers aren't right.
That's frightening.
Yeah. And then there's like weird stuff right now where, let me see if I can go back to the date here. On the 19th, really? Okay. It started on like the 16th, where my chart started peaking upward again on their revenue graph that you can see on your analytics, and then peaked on like the 18th, because that was a couple days ago. But the numbers are not any better as far as my overall number of views or the type of content I had or whatever. So previous days where I definitely had more views, more peaks, and I know they're legit, should have made more money. The frustrating part for me is that I have been working with other creators and whatever to drive that traffic, and then I don't get to realize the rewards of those efforts now. Like, that's the only part that really frustrates me. Like, the money is one thing, obviously, because it's like a number or whatever, and I can see my growth. But it's the fact that I did the very specific things to create positive growth and create extra income, and I did not get rewarded for it, you know, following all the steps. So I don't really know what the fallout from this is going to be or what the outcome is going to be. I'm on a couple of different Twitter threads where people are kind of talking through stuff and sharing responses and emails and trying to see if they can piece stuff together or not. And the thing is, I don't want this to turn to me just saying like, YouTube's evil, whatever. It's not that. You know, if anything, I'm the type of person, I accept that like technology is a son of a gun sometimes, and just things happen, right? We've all had those moments where like your computer breaks right at the time you're trying to do something, or you're trying to run your credit card and the machine goes down or whatever, right? Stuff happens. I get it. Just be open about it and say, yeah, this idiotic thing happened, or I don't know, this employee we had screwed up one of the equations and we're trying to figure out what it was or whatever. Whatever the situation happens to be, I think people would be happier with that. But giving statements that say, well, this thing or this thing or this thing could have happened, when it doesn't make sense that it would have happened to literally everybody. At this point, I'm saying it's everybody because everyone I've asked that does content on YouTube that's monetized has had the same issue. And it's almost all the same window of time. So I don't know if it's literally everybody, but I've asked like 30 different people now and they've all shown me stuff or explained something that sounds exactly the same.
That's your reach, as I said, is a little bigger than mine, but my research indicates the same thing. It's like, yeah, it seems to be happening to just about everybody that I talk to.
So, yeah. So my assumption is if there isn't a better resolution or some better explanation, probably within the next maybe up to 3 weeks, maybe even before, you're probably going to see some news about it or some people really getting bent out of shape. Because when you're looking at some of these content creators that have, you know, some have a million subscribers and get, you know, tons of views every day, you know, some of them get 100,000 views a day plus, those people are going to be missing some money. And they're probably going to have a real problem when it comes down to them. For, I don't know, for those people, that for real could be like $100,000, $1 million, right? Some of these people make $20 million a year, $15 million a year off of YouTube. So if you have that type of issue for a month, at a minimum, that's going to be a few $100,000 they're not getting. I think they're going to raise a little hell over that.
And there's no other line of work where you would be like, hey, you don't have to pay me that $100,000 you owe me. Yeah, there's something's got to happen here.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be seeing that sooner rather than later, because it's starting to become a concern for a few people. Like, I'm fortunate, like I said, I have my hands in a few different things and I have some opportunities elsewhere. I've got a significant other that's still got her job and everything else. So not as bad for me, but yeah. I think about this, if this had been me, say maybe 5 months in the future, well, that $150 might be like $400 or $500. Like, then it starts becoming a real number, you know? But while we're talking about crazy stuff online, Twitch sent out another email this week, a message to a lot of people about their DMCA takedowns, and basically said, hey, y'all, remember that stuff we told y'all in June? We were serious. So if y'all don't take this stuff down, we may have to start banning accounts. And people are trying to get mad at Twitch about it. And here's my take, right? Even people saying, well, Twitch should give us better tools to delete stuff, whatever. It's like, no, this is our responsibility as content creators. Like, we knew this was a thing. And nobody can play it. Like, if you're doing your job and you're trying to make money at something, you should do your research. Because this is not a thing that's secretive. It's not a thing that's hidden. Everybody that was on Mixer, on YouTube, you know, whatever, they all had to deal with that 4 or 5 months ago. And easy to find those news stories. You don't even have to look hard. You probably even have some other content creators you follow that did their version of the story of it, or what it, how it's affected them or whatever. So extensively covered. You can go all the way far back as Metallica and Napster and all that stuff from what, 15 years ago or something, almost 20 years ago, probably. Not a secret. We all knew this. Like, if y'all watch any of my content, listen, all my stuff comes from royalty-free places. I don't play any music that's owned, copyright, no name, artists, none of that. And that was a conscious decision I made from the beginning because I did not want to get into this type of situation.
Exactly.
Because right off the top of my head, I looked and said, if it can happen on this platform and it's this big of a problem for it, it's literally going to happen everywhere else. As soon as people figure out there's money in Twitch.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's all it took. As soon as people realize, like, oh, well, these people are getting, you know, your ninjas of the world or whatever, getting these like $1 million contracts and whatever. Wait, they play our music while they're streaming? Hold on a second. We need to go get a piece of that.
Yeah. And the crazy,
you knew that was coming.
Yeah, I had would have people like, hey, why don't you have song requests? And I would ask them, what does it add to my channel where I'm sitting here talking about sports and or video games?
I've literally told people up front, said, from day one. I said, they were like, "Ooh, you could add music." I said, "Nope, I will never do that. I'll have music playing in the background, but I have a selection of songs and stuff I have downloaded from the YouTube audio library. And there's other services. There's Stream Beats. There's the Free Music Project. There's like five or six really good ones that have extensive libraries where you can get, I was going to say hundreds, but literally thousands of songs if you want to play them. And honestly, most of them don't have a bunch of lyrics in them, so they make them even easier to listen to while you're talking or doing stream or interacting with your chat, which is also good. But to watch people be mad, because, you know, I see people saying like, well, I'm going to have to delete all these clips, or I'm going to have to delete all these videos, or blah, 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 and I don't have time to go through them. It's like, you know what? That's a you problem. And I know it sounds harsh. It really does. But we knew about this. And hell, if you're on Twitch, you knew about this back in June. So it's not like you haven't had whatever it's been, 5 months, 6 months, whatever, to figure out your situation. Like, this is a thing we all knew about. So to watch people be mad about it and try to blame Twitch, and Twitch should have done more to protect the creators, and Twitch should have had better tools. Like, no, that's not the job of their platform. But I don't know. How do you feel about all this, dude?
To me, I think unless you're in the music category, I just have never felt like having the music added anything for me that I was interested in. I mean, if you're there to listen to great music, okay, this is, mine is not going to be the stream for you. If you want to talk about what happened in video games or in sports or Magic today, okay, yeah, then come by my stream. So I'm like you. I never wanted to be dependent on the music for anything, really, because it wasn't part of what I was doing.
Now, I will say this. To credit Twitch, with all this going on, they had started developing their own music app, I guess, if you want to call it, that you can use during your streams. And I can't remember what it's called. It's called something very basic. But they opened it up, the beta usage of it. I believe the invites went out as recent as Monday, if I'm not mistaken, because I saw a few people mentioning they got their email. So if you do want to play actual, I guess, monetized music or whatever, you can download this thing, and there's supposed to be some amount of music available through this service or something that Twitch will have available. I'm assuming it's free right now or a super cheap fee because they're opening it for beta and so many people seem to have signed up for it that like having the music. So that's a thing you can do. But honestly, I think if anything, this is likely to have a large benefit for all of these other services, because I think once people realize like, oh, well, you can play music. Well, let me see what other options are out there. And they'll start looking for other things. You know, because at the end of the day, people are going to say, well, I don't want to be the same as this other channel and have the same, I don't know, let's say whatever genre of music you're in, maybe they have access to 100 songs or whatever, 200 songs, right? You don't want to have the exact same stuff somebody else has in their stream. So you're going to just go find something else. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think my problem is seeing people decide where, like, when it's okay to say like, oh, well, yeah, personal responsibility matters here, blah, blah, blah. You should be more aware of whatever. But then something like this happens and they're like, oh my God, Twitch should have been. But like, no, if you're going to talk about awareness, we knew, we all knew. And Twitch told everybody, like I said, back in June. So it's not even like it should be a surprise on their platform. You've had months to deal with this. And now it's urgent because you waited till the 11th hour and your account might get wrecked. Like, we did it to ourselves. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. We did it to ourselves.
And I can't tell you how many people, many of whom, you know, have been streaming far longer than what you or I have, told me like, oh, just play music. Don't worry about it. That doesn't seem like the right course of action. People who would give me great advice in other categories, and it's just, yeah, everybody plays music, nobody ever gets punished. Well, no, a few people have been punished. We've heard about it. What you mean is the majority of people haven't been punished. And we finally hit the point where, yeah, it's hitting everybody that was using copyrighted music. It took a while, but we got here.
you're right. I have talked to people who said, like, well, it's probably not that big a deal, or they're likely to not come after people, whatever. And for me, it was a matter of, but they can. You know, and that was the thing for me, is just, even if it was a lower, like, 5% possibility, the benefit I was getting out of it didn't overrule that 5% for me. Because, like everybody's seeing, those cool clips you had and those videos you loaded for posterity's sake, or stuff you might want to use for promotional purposes or any of that other stuff, like, you don't have that option now. Like, that cool library stuff you set up, so when people come check out your Twitch stream for the first time and want to see your old VODs and see what your channel's about, that's not going to be there anymore. You know, because I told you before, I think about things in terms of long term, not today. Like, think about, what's this going to be in 6 months? What's this going to be in a year? What's this going to be in 2 years? And even if you want to just load some videos to show your growth from, like, hey, this was my first junkie video, so this is where, like, my stuff is now or whatever, right? That opportunity is gone for people. So, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I do feel at least a little bit bad for people that are losing all that content. Because that is a lot of time that people are putting in, and they're just losing that content now. So I do have some sympathy for that. I'm not completely heartless that, you know, some of these people stream 5 times a week for multiple hours, and that history is going to all go away. You know, all that stuff they have from, maybe, who knows, maybe some fun stuff from people who have passed or other people they used to collaborate with that are no longer doing that content or whatever. Like, they're not going to be able to keep it anymore. I mean, sure, you could download it to another hard drive or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I get it. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at the music industry and the studios. You know, they're the ones that are really causing the problem. And then I kind of want to wrap up because we are running a bit long. We had some people in the Discord, which also you get access to if you join our Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. They wanted us to kind of discuss, how do you manage spending your resources, whether that's cash or wildcards, chasing the best deck at any given time in a format? And I don't know, Brian, do you do any amount of that where you are constantly trying to, like, I don't know, play one of the top decks at all times?
I mean, I'm not even the top decks. It's me trying to make, you know, 50 different jank decks. It's my struggle. I think the only thing I have built that probably would be considered to be one of the top decks is I have Muxus built. Rest of my stuff is just jank. But that's jank I wanted to build.
Okay. Yeah, I have a little bit of a different problem because I do try to showcase at least 3 or 4 different decks or newer decks on the YouTube channel every week. So I do go through quite a few cards that way. But for people who are trying to just say, like, I want to build the best deck and play the best deck, it's not necessarily to your benefit anyway. I know people say, like, well, the best way to win at Magic, you should build the best deck and play that. Like, in theory, yes. But the reality is, you're not going to play every deck well. So if there's a new King of the Hill next week and you decide to build that, but all your time is put into the other deck for the previous 2 weeks, well, you're still going to play that other deck better than you're going to play the new deck anyway. And unless the metagame shifts to where some immensely large number of people move to deck B, and it happens to be the complete foil to deck A, you're not really going to be that bad off. They'll just be another big deck, but you're going to get some wins you wouldn't get otherwise, because of your familiarity with deck A, right? Then when deck C comes around, then you have to look and say, okay, do I even like the style of deck that deck C is? If so, then maybe I'll think about slowly building that deck up or whatever and playing that. Is it directly better at doing anything that A or B does? Or is it made to just target A or B? If so, can I just make the transition with deck A? And maybe I just need to change some sideboard cards or whatever to deal with the new menace, you know. And I think that's a better benefit. You know, I would never recommend to people to just keep chasing the best deck. I mean, the reality is if you're not a top player or your goals aren't trying to be on the MPL or win all these tournaments or whatever, your benefit you're going to get out of it is going to be so much smaller anyway. You know, so, and the thing is, if you're, and I will say this, if you are a super competitive player and you want to be able to play whatever deck you feel you need every week or whatever, then you are just going to invest some money. That's not about saving resources. That's not about saving cash. That's not about saving wild cards. If you are going to try and make something a competitive profession, no matter what it is, whether we're talking about being a card gamer, being an athlete, whatever, like, you spend on the best things. Even an athlete, where people talk about, yeah, but you just have to buy equipment. Like, no, you know what? They buy the best gym equipment. They get the best trainer. They get the best supplements. Yeah. You know, they're spending the money to be the best at what they're doing. And I think that's the thing. If that's your goal, then saving resources off the table. That's not what you're doing. You are doing what you need to do to get to your goal. If that's not your goal, then just don't worry about chasing the best deck. Find a deck you like among the top four or five decks, and then learn to play that one really well. Stick with it for at least a month. And during that month, you'll be building up other resources anyway, just doing your dailies, getting wild cards from opening packs or whatever, you know, getting your rewards from the mastery path and all that stuff. And then you'll have enough anyway to get toward building the next deck, most likely. But I just wouldn't, if your goal isn't to be top of the top, I wouldn't even bother chasing the resources or the best deck. It's just not worth the resource spin. At least that's my take on it. Just be like Brian and keep having fun.
So some people probably do want to win, though. I get that. Although I say that, I'm in Diamond now, and I'm really bad with, you know, building the best deck and you know, having all the resources for that. Because, like, I try to build, you know, 15 different janky decks at once. The good news is many of them don't have a lot of resources because they're crazy decks. So.
Well, yeah, but that's my point, though. Like, you can still ladder up without having the absolute best deck. I mean, that's been proven time and time again.
I am living proof because I'm fully aware I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm, you know, a couple of stones throws away from Mythic.
So, yeah, if that's all you're trying to do, yeah, definitely just dodge chasing that and don't waste your resources. That's the advice from us. That's the official statement. All right, Brad, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
All right. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Allen's Ever After.
Also, they can go by on your family channel and really find out about those Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell.
Yes, the struggle is real.
Y'all can find me just about everywhere at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. And you can find me streaming on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and on YouTube every single day. As usual, wherever you are listening, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And even if you find it annoying and it bothers you and you don't believe it, please do it for us and your friends. Wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans that are icky with the COVID, and let's get back to gaming the way we like to game. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at ColorofMTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.